League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Diner hits one high. Ball game. To the dugout, and Yiner crushed one for the winner.
Hey, bartender!
Yeah, that's a Yiner bomb, dude. Put that in your chowder, you freaking losers! Oh, we're from Boston. We got the Red Sox! Play dirty water, because your team is dirty. They're getting the ass kicked by our Astros, dude.
No Yiner bombs in Boston.
Nah, they don't do that.
No, they don't. What a game that was. What a weird game, Paul. What a weird, weird baseball game.
Are you happy with it?
I don't know. That's a great question. I'll take it.
I saw your show notes in our shared rundown, and we like to just raw dog it. We come in here and just plop it on the table, see what we've got. I saw your notes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like you're that happy with the 11th Astros victory in their last 12 outings.
No, I'll take it.
Will take it. Okay.
Yeah, I think this is what great baseball teams do. You find a way to win games you shouldn't win. You shouldn't win a baseball game in which you have four errors. In which
probably not.
Jeremy Peña is just, scuffling the ball all around the diamond. You shouldn't win that kind of game. You shouldn't win that game when Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman are not in the lineup, when Ryan Presley's not available. You shouldn't win those games. But that's what I would say what great baseball teams do. But it was a weird one.
You got to win your clunkers. Joe's right. You shouldn't win a game where you have four errors. But spin zone, stats are for losers. The final score is for winners, even when it comes to errors.
That is a good spin zone, Paul. I like that.
It was a very bizarre game. I watched it at Bobcat Teddy's with Josh Innes and Mike Meltzer and some other old school Houston radio folks who used to go and get me drunk when I first moved down here, and I was making $15 an hour to work at the flagship on call. The ball off of Whitcomb's glove with two outs, extra run in the first inning against Yusei Kikuchi, who allowed a home run on his first pitch to noted homophobe, at least in the eyes of many, Jaron Duran. Jeremy Peña had the error at shortstop that Joe mentioned in the second inning. Victor Caratini had an error in the fifth. Sixth inning, Jose Altuve has a high throw that leads to another run. But the Red Sox did some dumb Red Sox defense things, which they've been doing a lot of over the last 5 years. He had that play where Victor Caratini hits a single. He ends up all the way over at third after a couple of absolutely horrible throws. And honestly, Caratini might have been able to score all the way from first base if he ran a little bit further or faster because there was nobody there. It was a bizarre game. Chas McCormick actually did something of note.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was neato to see.
Yiner Diaz struck out because he put his hand up twice.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, like, I mean, they were 3-for-11 with runners in scoring position. They've been worse. So this wasn't the worst day with opportunities to score runs, but they have two runners on in the sixth with no outs, just one run out of it. And as Joe said, there's two runners on with one out in the seventh. Diaz gets auto struck out for asking for a second timeout because he felt something in his eye with two strikes. And then Peña, K's looking. They should have lost. They won. And even better, the Mariners lost to our new friends, the Los Angeles Dodgers, at least for the next 2 days.
Yes, they are. We're frenemies with the Dodgers for the next 2 days. So Keith from LA, what's up? Oh, welcome into the show. We're Team Dodgers for the next 2 days. That's just a weird one. Like, you take what you can. You find a way to get wins in a stretch like this. The Red Sox are kind of unraveling. I would say at this
completely
point.
Completely unraveling.
And,
they're done.
And you
put
started
a fork
it. Yeah, the Astros started it in the last series when they swept them. But because I can imagine, like, I can't even imagine what Boston radio sounds like today.
They don't care.
Think about the Patriots?
They don't care about the Red Sox anymore.
Because they're irrelevant?
No, it's they don't like the ownership. They feel like the ownership has a lot of money and they still cheap out. And they do. And they focus a lot of their attention to Liverpool. They're also a bunch of sensitive little wusses who win the local newspaper. And for those who don't know, I grew up there and I don't like them anymore. And, I mean, think about that. A Boston sports fan who doesn't like the fabric of the city anymore. Like, they don't really care. And it feels like at this moment in time, this is what they expected to happen ultimately. So Boston's coming back to earth. And you're seeing some other teams come back to earth, too. We talked about how wide open all of Major League Baseball is. I think the Braves suffered another pretty serious injury as well. So you're looking at Atlanta with a bit of a side eye, too. Everything is going in the Astros' way right now.
Yeah. The momentum swing has just changed. It's just – it's wild. Like, even, you know, to think back to where we were – you know, 2 months ago, 10 games back, now you're 5 games up on the division. And as the Red Sox are unraveling, so are the Mariners. It just keeps getting worse for them. I mean, they're 2 games from being a .500 baseball team at this point. And they had a sizable lead. And they're one of the 4 worst teams in baseball over the last, like, 2 months. Since that really, I think it was since June 18th, only, like, the Nationals, the White Sox, and one other team are worse than the Mariners. They've completely unraveled this season. So you take what you can, and that's what you want to see. Like the Astros should be focused now on win the AL. Like, go after the AL.
I don't know about that, though. I feel like you got to take things a day at a time.
Yeah, and hopefully see a lot of Kenley Jansen.
You got a lot of this now. I'm happy that you're happy with the win, but you got a lot of this premature deal going on.
Think about that. Like
give Yusei Kikuchi a contract already.
He was good again last night.
Let's focus on winning the top seed in the American League. They still have to play the tough part of the schedule.
I know.
The Red Sox are just dead. They have a good record, so, hey, take the wins where you can get them. But
I guess it's I just feel like the Mariners are just dead. And that's part of it.
They are lacking a pulse. I do think that once they're done playing the Dodgers, things get a little easier for them, but they did lose 2 of 3 to the Pittsburgh Pirates over the weekend.
Yeah, but Yainer Diaz, what he's done too, how he's elevated his game this season is just, that's been so impressive as well, that he has completely turned into the best hitting catcher in baseball.
Completely turned into the best hitting catcher in baseball. Honestly, I'm too lazy to fact check that, so I'm just going to agree.
Well, statistically, he is up there with batting average and your favorite stat, which I also
Klongor?
No, the WRC plus.
Oh, that thing.
Okay. I saw he's first in that.
Well, there you go.
So
I refuse to learn what that means, but that sounds awesome.
He's first.
Hell yeah, dude.
But he's been great. That walk off last night. I am curious. You know, I know they exactly what Yordan Alvarez said to him in that moment, but. He is just – Yiner is awesome.
Yordan said don't let the timing of Kenley Jansen disrupt your timing.
Okay.
Because Kenley Jansen's a bit of a weirdo up on the hill.
Kenley Jansen, I saw this yesterday. StatMuse put this out. In his career, he's 2-3 with a 7.04 ERA against the Houston Astros.
Man.
That's his highest ERA against any single team in baseball.
Does that include against when he was with the Dodgers?
Yes, but it doesn't include postseason.
Right, because that's where I remember going into the 2017 World Series and everyone was talking up Kenley Jansen. And it's always fun to be somebody who just doesn't pay any attention to the baseball teams outside of Houston, because when you end up being right, those people get so furious thinking like, yeah, well, Kenley Jansen's one of the best closers in baseball. And you watch that series and you're like, is he? Nah, you suck. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know ball. I do, because I only watch the good team.
Yeah, it's my one of my favorite things with the Astros is whether it's Kenley Jansen or Aroldis Chapman, two guys who at times since 2017 have been considered two of the best closers in baseball. The Astros just throttle them, like any chance they can.
Yeah, they bully them.
They bully them real good.
It's fun to own a closer. I know when I was a Red Sox fan, it was very hilarious that all of a sudden the Red Sox had Mariano Rivera's number, who amazingly is the only unanimous inductee into the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame.
It's very stupid.
I can't believe it.
My biggest issue with it is Griffey.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Ken Griffey Jr. Who didn't vote Ken Griffey Jr.? That person should be shot.
at least lose their vote. But you know what, Paul? For today, I'm with you.
You're cool with murder?
I'll go with it.
I mean, yeah. Listen,
Paul started it. I just
I meant with a squirt gun. I didn't mean an actual. Listen, you're like, yeah, let's get a gun. Just blow his head off.
Maybe a Nerf.
Like how I turned that to you, on you, even though
you turned it real fast.
You know what's funny? Yesterday, I saw Will Kunkel tweet out something, and it had apparently the gun emoji is back. Because remember on Twitter, or not on Twitter, just on all apps, they got rid of the gun emoji. They replaced it with a squirt gun.
Oh yeah, this looks like a nice gun.
Yeah, this is like a Beretta or a Desert Eagle or something like that. I mean, it's a big old pistol. So I guess Elon Musk, who Will Kunkel called an alpha, has brought pistols back. Well, he told me that. I said, "Oh, guns are back. Let's go." Yeah. And he was like, "Yeah, Elon's an alpha." And I said to myself inwardly, "Okay, interesting.
Sure.
I mean, bring back gun emojis is the most alpha thing possible."
Yeah, so stay away from Rocket's Twitter. And like, you know,
no, I mean, the Rockets Twitter, that was they put a real pistol to that horse's head.
It did.
Because they wanted to put him out of his misery like you do with horses. Sorry, people in Houston know about horses. Have you seen the cutaways at every single Houston sporting event where they show some random cowboy riding on a horse in the desert, even though Houston is nowhere near a desert?
Yeah, that the Astrodome are always the go-to. The Be Someone sign are always whenever.
Have they even put the Be Someone sign on the network broadcast when they do the cutaways? I don't think they have. No, I don't think they know about it.
Oh, I guess I just assume that it's on.
Real ones know. So, okay. I mean, like, if it's a Houston local broadcast, I would assume that they would have a cutaway of the Be Someone sign. But anyone else, I don't know.
Yeah, but the Astrodome and the random horse or something rodeo related, we'll be seeing a lot of that with the Texans this year in primetime. We might have to do a bingo card.
A bingo card?
Yeah, just like what we hear and what we see during a national television broadcast when there's a game here in Houston. The Be Someone sign, the Astrodome, a random horse, even though there's no desert, like you said. It is very weird that they do that. Yeah, I don't quite understand.
That's what's weird is, hey, all right, show someone riding on a horse in downtown Houston or something like that, and all the road ragers who are debating pulling out a gun and shooting said horse with a gun emoji.
Once again, the Rockets guy should not have been fired for that. Soft.
Yeah, that was rough. Bring violence back. It's not real violence.
It's just a tweet.
It's emoji violence. Yeah, come on.
It's just not real.
Some comments here. A couple of people are saying they hate the Red Sox more than the Yankees, more than the Dodgers. That's interesting.
Huh.
I guess it's because, one, the Red Sox did beat the Astros in a series that mattered to win the 2018 World Series. And two, the Red Sox may have been doing just as much sign-stealing as the Astros, and yet they seem to get a very light punishment, or at least light damning from the national media.
Yeah,
when compared to the Astros. I mean, look at Alex Cora and the extension he just got as evidence of that.
Yeah, I guess it's 2018 that people are upset about the obviously with the Benintendi catch in left field, where you could have advanced in that moment if he just misses it by, you know, a half an inch. So it has to be that, and the. You see, even with the punishment stuff, though, Paul, like Kike Hernandez, when the Dodgers were here, he was with the Red Sox when all that was going on. He was one of the guys that has just been like, it's over. It's not a big deal. The players, I do feel, for the most part, who were there because they were with Alex Cora, because they more admit to what they did. I don't view the Red Sox that way, but I could see it just because they've actually beaten you, unlike the Yankees and the Dodgers, in a meaningful series. So I could see that.
Astros, bang!
I forgot about that.
Too slow, yeah.
One more time?
Sure.
Astros, bang! A little more Breen into that one. It is Gallant and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on Twitch at ESPN975. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. And by the way, make sure that you go to the Rock the Mic playlist and vote for who wins Rock the Mic on Friday. We're going to be at Carbach all afternoon to crown the winner. Coming up next, Kyle Tucker was doing something new yesterday, but I don't know if it means he's going to be back anytime soon. Plus the latest on Alex Bregman and Justin Verlander. Stay put.
It's Gallant.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Some comments from the text line as far as things that you will see on a national broadcast from the city of Houston to make it seem like, yeah, we've gone around the town to check out everything. The Galleria water wall, yes, that's right down the street from us.
That's a good one.
I think it's a war memorial of some sort. I honestly don't know. I drive by it from time to time. The dome. Yeah. Ugh. Looks like a wart next to NRG. NASA.
Yes.
That's true. NASA's also underwhelming. I was so disappointed when I went there for a tour because I didn't get the cool tour. Be Someone Bridge. I don't think they know about that. Cowboy stuff, random horses, the Buffalo Bayou, the San Jacinto Monument, and maybe Battleship Texas.
Okay. That's a pretty good list. Yeah, NASA is very underwhelming. Went one time until my son's old enough to go again, like to go for the first time. Probably won't ever go.
Yeah. I hated that there was an Angry Birds playpen. First thing I saw when I stepped in. It's been a while, but this is back in 2014. And I saw that and I was like, do you have no shame, you whores?
Like,
I get it. NASA
very
needs,
weird.
NASA needs funding, and that's why those two astronauts are stuck up on the space station and they're gonna be there till February because Boeing screwed something up. But come on. Can we up our game a little bit? We also have some people commenting about Red Sox fans. Junior Bronco says, I hate the Red Sox because their fans are East Coast trash. Well, drunk on rock stars who chain smoke menthols.
Okay.
Rockstar energy drink?
I guess so.
Huh. I don't know about the menthols thing. I feel like Parliament is the Boston Siggy, the Boston Dot of choice. B. Hannon says Boston's a bunch of racists. I do think that it gets a bad rap for racism that's deserved, but I don't think it's that much worse than the rest of the country, but perhaps that's because I'm from there. And another comment says, hating the Sox, nah, that smug Boston sign kid attending 10 championship parades, and he noted he was only 15, bleep off. Well, that was me, so.
That kid.
That kid's me.
He does cause a lot of ire.
That was me.
That's you?
Yeah.
Because you've had. So there's been 10 championships? No.
It's been way more than that already.
I forgot about the Celtics.
It's probably been like six more since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, there's a lot of jealousy and people's hate for Boston
mm-hmm.
because they've won so many titles.
Yeah.
Which I understand.
Just remember, when you hate a Bostonian, just remember, it gets dark at 4 p.m. in the winter.
Gross.
It snows. There's ice. Outrageous taxes. Terrible traffic. Narrow roads. And most importantly of all, the women there are not attractive.
What's like? Besides,
but they think they're very attractive.
Is there any like good food in Boston? Like, what's like the go to food in Boston?
Yes, seafood.
Okay.
And there's some good Italian food. But okay. For the most part, it's hit or miss.
Yeah, you figure with the mob, being there.
Well, it's the Irish mob.
Oh, that's right.
The Italians are in Providence. Have you watched The Departed? Clearly not.
It's been a while. It's been a while. Maybe too long. Maybe tonight.
By the way, just of note, the Astros could potentially sign Hector Neris. I'm very curious about that. The Cubs released him, and he did clear waivers.
Yeah, I would go for it. I mean, why not?
8-4, 17 saves, 3.89 ERA. Is this related to the Cubs being out of contention, and maybe they want to make good by him? Because it seems like he's having a decent season.
He has been very, very, very bad in closing situations.
Gotcha, but he's not
to where they had to put him in that role, take him out. They kept going back and forth. This season, he had a $9 million option that I just think they're cheap and didn't want to pay it. Gotcha. And my guess is he knows he has a chance to get picked up by a playoff team, so he's probably good with this too. I'd bring him back. He's better than Caleb Ferguson.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you need somebody who's good against lefties, and I mean, that was his calling card, if I'm not mistaken.
So get rid of Caleb Ferguson, which is a waste of a trade because he's not good. He doesn't need to be here. So bring back Hector Neris. If you can fix everyone, he shouldn't be hard to fix because you just do what you did last year, even though Maldi's not here.
We miss Maldi. But as a texter points out, Yiner Diaz has become pretty good defensively, it seems, over the course of this year, at least in terms of framing pitches, because these pitchers are all pitching a lot better, and see how Fromber has all of a sudden developed a rapport with him. All right. We have some updates on the Astros injury front. But as always, we don't really know what they mean. It's time for another episode of Astros ER.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
You don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
I saw a video from Adam Spillane, Texans flagship Houston sports reporter, showing Kyle Tucker out on a field. The caption reads, "He's not running yet, but Kyle Tucker is hopping."
He's hopping.
And then there's a 15-second video of Kyle Tucker hopping.
Would you rather have Kyle Tucker be the DH for the Houston Astros and hop to the bases than have Chaz McCormick or Jake Meyers in the lineup? So he can't run to first, but he can hop to first.
Yeah, if he's only hopping to first, I mean, is he going to even be able to make it for a single hit to the outfield?
No, that's the problem. But if he hits a double, he'll get a single, but he'll get thrown out at second.
He has to hit all doubles and home runs. It would be very funny to see him hit a home run and hop around. He'd definitely get beaned the next at bat, even though it's because he's crippled.
And now I just like him just hopping from home to home. It would take so long.
I mean,
it would take so long to get there.
That would also eventually hurt your knees. I am surprised, though, that no one's done some just absolute asshat celebration like that. Or like in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, a trot around. You ride your baseball bat all the way to the end.
I'm all with that. I'm with that.
Get someone from the dugout to follow you with some coconuts.
But these soft-ass baseball players would be so upset. I mean, they all threw a temper tantrum when Alex Bregman, like, carried the bat to first base, basically. So, but I'm with this. I think we just, you know, I know Chaz got a hit last night, but Kyle Tucker hopping to first base as your DH. He's in the cage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also watched Spolane's video of Kyle Tucker in the cage. I don't think a single ball in the video that he posted would have been a fair ball.
Okay.
Every single one he hit was a foul ball.
Oh.
So, I know he's in the cage, but is he ready to actually do something with it? I don't know. It's... The Tucker stuff just gets weirder and weirder, and now that he's doing these warm-ups at home and he's just hopping around out there, makes it even stranger.
Another Astros injury update. We were told on Friday, after a lot of build-up, that Alex Bregman slept wrong and had a sore elbow. Bregman has not played since Thursday. Check that. I guess they didn't play last Thursday, right? He hasn't played since...
Correct.
Wednesday. Bregman hit and took ground balls yesterday. And Joe Espada said, "Bregman saying, quote, put me in, coach," end quote. He'll check in on him to see if and when he'd be available. So if Bregman's asking to play, and Joe Espada has to check in on him to see if and when he'd be available, who the hell is making the determination of when Alex Bregman's back out there?
I guess this is making, like, you're watching out for your players because you don't want them to rush back. But it also seems like he's out because of his own diagnosis for the most part.
But he says he wants to play.
And after Shea Whitcomb's play at third base
last night. Oh, God, that was rough.
I also would like to see Alex Bregman play. Now, I did find Chandler Rome's tweet interesting where he said, "Alex Bregman's not playing tonight, nor was he ever playing tonight." So I know the Astros are saying he could have been available for this series, or he could be available, but they're obviously not very forthright with information very often. So Chandler's speculating that we'll see Alex most likely during the Orioles series, and he will not play today or tomorrow, which it is what it is. That's fine. persevere, figure out a way to win this series, and then get Alex back for the Baltimore series. But if he wants to play and he's not going to have structural damage, then just let him play. Let him be the DH at least.
You do have such a lead in the American League West now, which is ultimately the most important thing the rest of the way, is to make sure that you maintain that American League West lead where you can more than you could a couple of days ago. Maybe afford to sit guys for a couple of days. Just something to keep in mind. But we would like to see Bregman back out there, and this is yet another confusing update. The only good news that we have in Astros ER, Justin Verlander will start tomorrow for the Stros against the Sox.
Good. They're going to the six-man rotation. JV's back. They said there's no pitch count. Officially that they're going to tell us, because Joe Spada said that Justin Verlander can surprise them with how far he can go to the game. I believe that's what happened the last time he came back from a rehab start. They gave us a pitch count number, and then he went past it because he looked good and he felt good the whole game. So it'll be nice to see him back on the mound tomorrow. They need him. Like, as much as this series and this lead has grown over the Mariners, if you do have aspirations of chasing down the top seed or a top two seed in the American League, Justin Verlander's going to be a huge part of that. So I'm excited to see JV back tomorrow, and hopefully his neck is okay. Not stiff anymore. Also from sleeping?
Do you believe it was his neck?
No, because he said it was himself. It was also his shoulder. But maybe they just need new beds.
The neck bone is connected to the shoulder bone.
Probably.
Them bones. What a song.
I haven't heard that song in so long.
The knee bones connected to the thigh bone. Thigh bones connected to the hip bone.
You know, it just made me really sad. That just made me realize that, like, I'm probably like 6 months away from like my son finding that song. It's probably just going to be on in my house all the time. It's just going to be stuck in my head. I'm going to have to ban that video on YouTube.
I feel like it's dated to the point where
I hope so.
It won't catch.
I hope so. I don't want him to just be walking around singing that song all the time.
Do you have the baby shark epidemic in your place?
No, we've avoided that. Somehow.
My sister avoided it with my godson for a little bit.
And then Uncle Paul?
No, I didn't do anything. I wouldn't do that. No, I do get my sister toys that are extremely noisy just to be annoying. I'm like, oh, I had no idea it does that. Smirking. But he apparently discovered it on his own.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, some terrorist put that into his brain.
I agree.
My poor sister and brother-in-law. All right, it's Galan and George. That's Astros ER. He is Joe. I am Paul. Sean is behind the glass. Up next, everything that you missed over the weekend in the world of sports, including Texans color commentary getting canceled online, and the Cleveland Browns, they are really good at being the villain. First, let me tell you about my friends in MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You go to the website. You enter promo code BET975. They are going to match your initial deposit up to $1,000. And you get to play with that right away. You can go to the live casino with real dealers. And you can bet on blackjack. You can bet on poker. If you're a real degen, you can bet on the third and final preseason game. For all the NFL teams out there, I can't believe some of the lines are the way that they are. I mean, why are the San Francisco 49ers 5-point favorites against the Las Vegas Raiders in a preseason game? Why are the Jaguars 7-point favorites on the Falcons? Doesn't that seem crazy? It's the preseason? We're making lines that big? I don't know. Maybe you look at those and you think there's no way they cover. And then you look at the Colts' favorite to beat the Bengals by 5.5, and you think to yourself, I'm going to do a parlay for all the teams who are the dogs to cover these outrageous spreads. Don't they believe in third stringers? It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. And if you use that promo code, you'll get an awesome deposit bonus. MyBookie.ag.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Galan and George.
Was cool to see over the weekend, Ken Caminiti, late Astros player. get inducted into the Astros Hall of Fame. His family was there for him to receive it in Players Weekend for the Astros.
Yeah, it's one of the. I'm glad the Astros did their own, you know, Hall of Fame. It's something that has been a really cool thing to see over the last couple of years, and to see his family there. I'll be honest, I didn't know a lot of the story because I was pretty young when he passed. So I was doing a lot of reading this weekend and kind of like, you know, learning more about actually what happened. So to see his family there, you know, hear Blum talk about the family because, you know, they kind of grew up, their kids are about the same age. So that was a cool thing. But it's one of my favorite things the Astros have been doing over the last couple of years for sure.
His career really took off in San Diego, but he was an all-star in 1994 for what it's worth. In the Texans-Giants preseason game over the weekend, some took issue with this comment from 1560 legend turned Texans color commentator along with ND Kalu and Kevin Kugler for the Texans preseason games. Johnny Harris with a shot at Josh Allen while calling a C.J. Stroud completion.
Rip, and that's really tough for a young dude to handle. On 32, oh, what a strike. Fits it in perfectly, and Stephon Diggs announcing his arrival to the Houston crowd.
You know, Kevin, this Wednesday in practice, you'll see this just get inside your DB, and CJ will hit you. I don't know Josh Allen would have, but CJ will put that ball right on the number. But when?
What do you think he meant by that? I don't know if Josh Allen would have. Because I know that Warren Sharp randomly went scorched earth on John, as did many of the online fan group known as Bills Mafia. I felt like John was trying to say that Josh Allen wasn't throwing it as much to Stephon Diggs towards the end of the year.
Yeah, that's kind of what my interpretation of it was as well. Not that Josh Allen couldn't make that throw.
Right.
Because, you know, Warren Sharp and others pointed out, statistically, Josh Allen had the best completion percentage within 5 yards last year because, you know, they just threw a bunch of screen passes when their offense started being a lot better last year. Regardless, the reaction was funny because people were so mad. Bills Mafia was very triggered.
Yeah, I would imagine, given that John is working for the Texans, that John has had conversations with Stephon Diggs or somebody close to Stephon Diggs who have probably said that he took issue with moments where Josh Allen didn't throw him the ball. And if you take a look at the numbers down the stretch, there was a bunch of games in a row where his numbers were down. Was that a byproduct of the Bills changing their offense in the middle of the year? I would say it was mostly that. But I imagine that Stephon Diggs, who clearly has had issues with Josh Allen in the past, probably thought to himself that I'm getting frozen out by Allen to a degree here, and I don't like it.
And it wouldn't shock me if, in Stephon Diggs' mind, that he doesn't think Josh Allen would have got him the ball there in that moment, or that Josh Allen couldn't make that throw. I mean, he was pretty vocal on social media about what he thought about Josh Allen as a quarterback. So if that's what he's telling people is, yeah, I don't think Josh Allen can make this throw that C.J. Stroud can, then people sometimes just start parroting that a little bit. But, yeah, I thought John Harris was getting unfairly crushed for this one by Bills Mafia.
Yeah.
They act tough, but they're pretty soft.
Mm-hmm. We'll see if there's anything more from them, but I feel like this was pretty innocuous and everyone got a little bit too worked up because it's the preseason and we are all trigger happy right now. Remember Michael Hall, the Browns' second round pick? They got another statement from the victim who he assaulted allegedly through Cleveland police over the weekend. He's due in court on September 10th. Body camera video of Hall's arrest has been shown. We haven't gotten much more than that, but we know the allegation is pretty terrifying. He pressed a gun against a woman's temple, threw a baby bottle at her head, and dragged her out of the house. Kevin Stefanski, I believe on Thursday or Friday, was asked multiple times by Browns media about what's going on with Michael Hall, Brown's second round pick, who clearly is giving the organization yet another black eye. Here is how Kevin Stefanski handled all of those questions.
I know you guys have questions about Mike Hall. Respectfully, I don't have much to add. I'm going to let legal proceedings play out. I can't get into all the details, guys, I'll just tell you, we're going to let the legal proceedings play out. I understand the question. I would tell you, we really just have to respect the process. I understand what you're asking, honestly, but for us, we have to trust in the process, and really it's that. I think, again, I'm not going to look into, I'm going to not talk past today. I just tell you, we need to respect the process here. Yeah, I can't get into specifics, Mary Kay, other than to tell you, you know, we'll continue to let the process play out.
The process. Got to let it play out.
You really don't, though. A lot of those questions were about why he was practicing. There's nothing wrong with saying X player has legal issues. He's going to be away from the team until they are solved. There's no reason why he has to be out there. And if he's out there, you're going to get asked questions. And a million of them, apparently. I'm reading the transcript version of what Pro Football Talk put out, because I guess the Browns probably sent it out like the Texans do. It's very funny because he just keeps saying the same thing over and over again. He doesn't have to be out there.
Stefanski shouldn't have to answer those questions. This is how NFL front offices hide themselves. They force the coaches to take these questions. I remember back in 2017 when Deshaun Watson was down for the year and I think Tom Savage was hurt. People were asking whether or not the Texans would sign Colin Kaepernick.
I remember that.
I mean, Rick Smith should have been getting those questions, but Rick Smith doesn't make himself available on a regular basis, and Bob McNair wasn't making himself regularly available either. You know, those questions are for the people upstairs, and sadly they're never there, so poor Kevin Stefanski has to answer the question. And this is on brand for the Browns, who have their own little Baghdad Bob guy. And I hate this guy because he wouldn't let me ask Deshaun Watson any questions after the Texans-Browns game back in 2022. So this Baghdad Bob guy clearly thinks so little of Kevin Stefanski that he probably told him, hey, just keep on saying we got to trust the process, in the same way that he clearly felt that Deshaun Watson, who I'm not sure is the smartest guy, could not be trusted to say anything but the same thing over and over again. So I actually went back and I found some of the audio that I have, because, yes, I am this petty, of whatever the Browns' Baghdad Bob told Deshaun Watson so that he would avoid putting his foot all the way in his mouth. Here's Deshaun Watson's apology montage from his introductory press conference with the Browns.
What do you apologize for?
For everyone that was affected about this situation. There was a lot of people that was triggered. Well, I apologized beforehand. I think the second time I spoke to you guys, I actually apologized. But I think for some people, it didn't maybe register as I was apologizing. But, you know, I just wanted to clarify, you know, I was apologizing to all women and people that was affected about this situation, because it's, you know, it's definitely a tough situation. I feel like through this whole process, we've been trying to tell my side of the story. But a lot of people wasn't able to, or didn't really pay too much attention to it. But one day we will. Only time will tell. And, you know, like I said before, just continue to keep being the person I am, keep showing the community how good of a human being I am. I have always been, how I was raised. And I just want to continue to show that and, you know, keep pushing forward.
So that's his apology montage.
I forgot that very first answer. He said he's apologizing to the people that were triggered.
Yep.
I forgot. What an idiot.
Do you want more, Deshaun Watson?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Sometimes I think back to like that time in sports radio. I was like, it sucked. All we talked about was the cheating scandal, COVID, and Deshaun Watson. But now I don't mind hearing the Deshaun Watson stuff and dunking on that idiot.
This is from 2022 in March. Here is Deshaun Watson standing on his innocence a million times over the course of a press conference, because the Browns' Baghdad Bob clearly believes that he's a dumbass.
Well, I've always been able to stand on my innocence. I've always stood on my innocence and always said that I've never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone, and I'm continuing to stand on that. I'm going to continue to stand on my innocence. I've always, you know, stood on not disrespecting or sexual assaulting anyone. Yeah, I'm moving on with my career, with my life, and I'm continuing to stand on my innocence. Just because, you know, settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty for anything. I feel like the person has the opportunity to stand on his innocence.
You know, I've always stood on not sexually assaulting people as well. So credit to Deshaun Watson for taking a bold stance there.
Stand on his innocence.
Do you want more Deshaun Watson?
We can do more.
Okay, here's every single time Deshaun Watson said that he needs to push forward, like it's Attack on Titan.
And I'm looking forward to just moving forward with my career and being able to get back on the field as soon as possible. But Yeah, that's the plan, is to continue to grow as a person and individual and keep pushing forward. I'm going to have to continue to push forward with my life and my career. And for us to be able to move forward, you know, I have to be able to take steps and put pride to the side. You just have to be able to move forward, and that's the plan. You know, I have to be able to move forward with my career, move forward with my family, with my personal life and everything. Like I said, I have to continue to move forward with my life and with my career. And, you know, things happen on the legal side that you got to continue to just keep pushing forward and moving. Well, I have to do what's best for Deshaun Watson at the end of the day. And I know what happened. I was in those situations. But I have to continue to push forward and keep moving forward. You know, I just have to continue to push forward as a person, as an individual. And, yeah, that's it. And we just got to continue to push forward as an individual and as a person. Like I said before, just continue to keep being the person I am, keep showing the community how good of a human being I am. I've always been how I was raised. And I just want to continue to show that and, you know, keep pushing forward.
So there you go. This is what the Browns do when they bring in a D-bag. They just tell that person, hey, you just got to deal with a couple of press conferences, say the same thing over and 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 over again. And by the time you're done saying the same thing over and 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 over again, everyone's going to be so frustrated and annoyed by you that they'll never actually ask you those same questions. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Hashtag stand on my innocence. Hashtag I'm sorry for disrespecting those women, even though I didn't disrespect those women.
Yeah, he contradicts himself in those apologies or whatever those are, because they're also not apologies.
Yeah, he's the worst. The worst. Not here anymore. Thank goodness. Deion Sanders and CBS are fine.
Oh.
In case anyone cared, here's Deion Sanders in the middle of a press conference. Saying that the beef is over.
Is the guy here from CBS?
No, sir.
Who's here from CBS?
Romy.
God bless you. Tell him. He know. Okay. I know. Yeah, but I want everybody to know we're good. We was good then, but they seemed like we wasn't good. We're good. I love him and I appreciate him. Tell him I do a sit-down one-on-one with him. We're good. We're good now. Yeah, we've been good, but we're really good now.
He know, I know. Now everybody knows.
Hey, you get a sit-down? You know, you get called out like that. Everyone's talking about you for a day for doing nothing wrong and just trying to ask a question. And now you get a one-on-one interview with Deion Sanders. Worked out for that guy.
Honestly, it did.
It worked out well.
He didn't do a damn thing. I worked for CBS Denver. A couple more, in case you missed it, all the things you might have missed over the weekend. Joe, the first lady of Chicago Bears football, who had a husband on the team, the Chicago Bears, Jonathan Owens, who hasn't practiced with the Bears so that he could go watch the Olympics, his wife showed loyalty to the Bears, allowing him to go watch her at the Olympics by wearing a Green Bay Packers jacket to a Bears game on the sideline. Now, it was a Jonathan Owens-themed jacket, but
you got... No. Okay, Jonathan Owens, bad husband. Okay?
Jonathan Owens, bad husband.
This is not Simone Biles.
It's not Simone Biles.
This is Jonathan Owens. You have to be a better husband and get her new gear.
Okay.
So she doesn't have to get eviscerated by Bears fans. Unrightfully.
Wouldn't you be an egomaniac, though, if you get a jacket and it's just a bunch of different pictures of yourself in black and white or something?
I'm going to guess it's her idea.
Okay.
But you have to know, as a Bears player now, that she can't wear that.
Yeah.
She can't.
She can't. But she's the first lady of Houston, so she's okay.
And now she's the first lady of Chicago, because she said, go Bears, bear down, and now everyone loves her again.
Oh, okay. I like that you blamed it on Jonathan Owens. Do you think he should be cut for skipping practice to watch the Olympics?
No, because I like him as a football player. So.
You do?
Yeah, he's a good backup.
Honestly, I don't know. Oh, he's a backup? He's a backup and he's skipping time? What is this?
I think he'll be a backup this year, unless there's an injury. Or he'll be like a rotation guy.
Gross misallocation.
He was a great husband for going to support her. Now, you got to help her out here a little bit.
One last thing, in case you missed it. Noah Lyle sucks. I hope he starts podcasting, but he sucks. So, over the weekend, Noah Lyle said that he doesn't know who Tyreek Hill is. Tyreek Hill, of course, challenged him to a race. And then he also said that he doesn't know who Nikola Jokic is.
He's just trying to stay relevant. Because he'll be irrelevant now for probably ever. I don't know if he'll run in the next Olympics.
Track people acting like they're more relevant than the real sports. No offense. It drives me crazy.
Play 100%.
A real sport. Play a real sport.
Oh, you're fast. Cool.
Anyone Olympics. In the Olympics. Like, you're really only irrelevant every 4 years.
Yeah. Oh, I won a gold medal. How many SEC championships you won? Oh, none? Cool.
No, unless you're Katie Ledecky. and she has.
Well, that's different. That's for the ACC.
ACC championships now?
She did it for the ACC.
Okay. I guess her actual championships say Pac-12, but now she did it for the ACC.
No, she did it for the ACC.
Yeah, where champions are built.
It is Gallant and George. We're just going to go straight through to 55 here. The Houston Texans did make a move yesterday. They gave an extension to Jimmy Ward, who is a safety and who played 13 games last year. It felt like he missed more than just 4 games last season. I thought he looked great against the Giants on Saturday. He was hitting people, putting them into the turf. So I like that they have him on the team, somebody who has played for D'Amico Ryans before in San Francisco. He and Azeez Al-Shaair do seem to be adding a physical component to this defense. But I do also look at extending Jimmy Ward, who missed some time last year, and I look at how they gave Joe Mixon an extension before he even played a down for the Texans, and how they did the same thing with Shaq Mason before he even played a down for the Houston Texans. And it is a little noteworthy that they like to assign people to extensions before they actually, I don't know, play out their contract. Now, it's a one-year extension, so it's not that big of a deal. All I'm saying is it's an interesting trait of Nick Caserio to pay guys who maybe have injury issues before they need to.
Yeah, before they make even a big impact on the team. Like, because he's different than Shaq Mason and Nixon because those guys hadn't played at all on the team. Now, you acquired both of them via trade, but you signed Jimmy Ward in free agency. So this one surprised me as well. I guess I just didn't see it coming. I'm with you where it felt like he played a lot less games. Maybe he missed more time in those games, and that's why we view him as not being on the field as much. I do also agree him and Stingley, like that first possession, first two possessions on defense were really strong together.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably just the leadership and the familiarity with the defense to why they want to do this. Doesn't this feel like more of a D'Amico decision? It would be more.
It could be.
Yeah. I'm fine with it. I don't totally get why they're doing this, why they are extending these guys before they really need to.
I don't think they need to.
Yeah.
I would let it play out. I would have let the Mixon thing play out as well. Hey, they don't feel the need to. Okay. I just hope that they stay healthy all year.
Yeah,
injuries happen, and I imagine that maybe this gives them a little bit of flexibility. Maybe it's not a fully guaranteed year. You would assume it would be, though. I mean, why would you sign an extension if you're Jimmy Ward if it's not going to give you something like that? It has to be favorable in some way to Ward.
Yeah, and probably not as much in the Texans' favor besides just having him on the team. It's an interesting philosophy that the two things we really know about Nick Caserio is he doesn't like to do deals that are longer than 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a veteran player and they acquire you, they're going to extend you before you really make an impact on this team. They're also the positive side of this, though, is that they're not deals that are going to blow up in your face. You can get out of the Mixon deal. You can probably get out of the Jimmy Ward deal.
I would think so.
I would imagine you can get easily out of the Shaq Mason deal if you needed to at some point. So they are not doing this. They're not Jose Abreu contracts. They're not that. They're not Rafael Montero. They're not doing that stuff. So it's just an interesting philosophy that they seem to have.
He is Joe. I am Paul. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. The Astros have now won 11 of their last 12. They are a season-best 12 games above 500. They are a season-best 5 games ahead of the Seattle Mariners for first place in the American League West. And something interesting was said last night by one of their players that makes me feel like we're going to be seeing him for quite some time. Who is that? You'll find out next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.